This is Mojo Nixon on the Sirius Stars Channel, Sirius 102.
Lying cocksuckers!
The opinions expressed in this program are those of Mojo Nixon and Mojo Nixon alone. In no way does Sirius Satellite Radio endorse or agree with anything this lunatic has to say. Sirius Satellite Radio is a billion-dollar corporation, and frankly, we're scared shitless of this nut job who's obviously hopped up on something. How he got a job is a mystery to us all.
Lying cocksuckers!
On the Sirius Stars Channel, Sirius 102.
North Korea's got a nuke, doo-dah, doo-dah. George Bush thinks he's gonna puke all the doo-dah day. Mojo Nixon here, friends. This is my weekly political talk show, Lying Cocksuckers, because that's what politicians are. And could it be that North Korea does have a nuclear bomb? And could it be that we, the United States of America, our president, our government, has invaded the wrong country in the axis of evil? As you may recall, a State of Union Address 2002, President Bush said Iraq, Iran, and North Korea were the axis of evil, and we need to control them motherfuckers, you know, to keep the terrorism down. Now, we had a 1 in 3 chance of invading the right country if we were going to invade. Could it be that we have invaded the wrong country? Oh, and friends, I heard these people talking on TV. I heard these talking heads, you know, Jabberjaw Jump. People that talk even more than Mojo. That's right. My name's Mojo Nixon. This is my weekly political talk show, Lying Cocksuckers, right here, Sirius 102. People talking about, well, we have no good options. There's no good options, no good military options on the ground in North Korea. You heard this over and over from all kind of different pundits and pontificators that keep saying things like, well, there's no good military option in North Korea. You know, that begs a question. Begs a question that should have been asked 4 or 5 years ago. Who the fuck thought it was a good option to invade Iraq? Who was the idiot, the moron, the simpleton, the blind retard who sat down and said, invading Iraq's a good idea. Invading, you know, it's all going to work out. It's all, because see, now people are being cautious. Oh, now people are people are holding back now. What did old Rice says? U.S. will not invade North Korea. Bush says U.S. won't attack North Korea. Hey, where does North Korea get that idea that U.S. just attacks you for no good reason at all, without any proof or evidence or probable cause? Where did North Korea get that idea? Could it be from our stupid, wrong invasion of Iraq? You know, put yourself in North Korea's shoes. Put yourself in North Korea's shoes. If the U.S. invades Iraq, what do? You start working on the nuclear bomb day and night. Working in the morning, working in the evening, working at supper time. Now, friends, as much as I would like to blame George Bush for all of this, that crazy guy in North Korea was probably going to build a nuclear bomb as soon as he could, no matter what the fuck we did. But that doesn't mean George Bush didn't make it worse. George Bush made it worse. He made it worse two ways. First off, he had his axis of evil. He had his axis of evil. He had a choice to negotiate or threaten or invade all or any three of the countries. He invaded the wrong country. No weapons of mass destruction, no chemical weapons, no delivery method, no nuclear program, no nuclear weapons. Zip, zilch, nada, nothing. They're not hiding him in Syria. They aren't there. Iraq was a depleted country that had lost twice, first Gulf War and the war with Iran. Saddam Hussein was a toothless tiger, a thorn in our side, who only posed a threat to his own people. We should have left Saddam Hussein alone. Oh, in hindsight, you know, but I'm not just having hindsight because I was against the war before it fucking began. I'm not having 2020 hindsight here. I'm having fucking foresight. There was no good military option in Iraq because we knew we could defeat Saddam Hussein in a matter of weeks. The question was, what's going to happen after that? Oh, well, guess what? Now we fucking know. Mission accomplished. Greeted as liberators. Throw in its last throes. Kiss my hairy ass. Back to North Korea. The guy is crazy. Kim Jong-il, crazy, in a closed society. So Bush didn't have a lot of good options. The only people that have any sway with North Korea are the Chinese. And the Chinese aren't any happy about this than us. You know, this guy, first off, we don't know if North Korea has a nuclear weapon. They're trying to build one. The explosion was not big enough to say it wasn't just conventional weapons. There's been no giant radiation leak. Over a period of time, you know, maybe enough information will come out. We'll be able to say for sure one way or the other, that was a nuclear bomb or it wasn't. Or it was a nuclear bomb and only went half off or some such thing. We don't know. But the point is, he wants to have a nuclear weapon. He wants to have a nuclear weapon. And is it a threat to the United States? Well, not directly, not really. It's really a threat to China, Japan, and South Korea, and Russia, the countries that are right there. Though Alaska ain't that far away. But yeah, as you recall, they had a missile test over there in Korea, and their Taekdong 2, or whatever it's called, they all fell in the ocean. So they don't have any delivery system to send their weapon, which might not work in the first place. What they really want is attention. What they really want is maybe to negotiate directly with the United States. George Bush refused to do that, said he would not have bilateral talks, meaning, you know, just U.S. and North Korea talking. And he said, oh, Clinton did that, and it didn't work. Well, they didn't blow up any bombs. They didn't attempt to, they didn't attempt to detonate any nuclear weapons while Clinton was president. Maybe they were just biding their time. Like I said, this guy is crazy. But George Bush has made it worse by, one, not negotiating with him, and, two, calling him out in the axis of evil and then invading the wrong fucking country. The wrong country that has nothing. Not a bit. Now, maybe he invaded Iraq. Some people say this because we can get kind of a two for one. See, we can invade Iraq, occupy Iraq, and use that as a launching pad to get Iran. So of your three countries, see, we can take two out at once. That means you're ignoring the other one and you're not negotiating them with whatsoever. But back to North Korea. The problem in North Korea is twofold. One, like I said, he could attack his neighbors. He could attack South Korea, where America still has, I think, about 30,000 troops and tanks and all kind of things over there. He could attack South Korea in some last-ditch chance to unify Korea, or he could attack our friend Japan. Now, they don't have a standing army because we kicked their ass in World War II, so we probably have to come to defend their ass. Or, here's the other problem, he's a nut with a nuke. He might attack his friends, his neighbors, or he also might try to sell it to a bigger nut, Osama bin Laden kind of nuts. Oh, you remember Osama bin Laden. He's once responsible for 9/11, hiding out somewhere there in the Mideast. Not fucking in Iraq, the country we attacked. That was the wrong country. So we don't want to have a nut with a nuke. We might want to negotiate with him. See, that's why Bush needed to use backdoor channels. You know, Bush is a simpleton. He is a simpleton, a fool, a child who sees the world in black and white. He sees it like a comic book. I'm the good guy, you're the bad guy. Friends, life is complicated. Life has many shades. Sometimes in life, you might get into bed with the devil so you won't have to suck some other dick later on down the line. George Bush doesn't believe in, you know, in real politics. He doesn't want to realistically look at stuff. He sees it as some kind of battle between good and evil. Well, an evil motherfucker is going to kick your ass. You know, if you see the world not in terms of the way it is, but in terms of some imaginary childhood good and evil comic book thing, you're going to lose. You're going to lose because you're not seeing the actual situation on the ground. Our president has got us into this mess by invading Iraq. You know, by invading Iraq and not paying any attention to North Korea. But North Korea nuclear and nuclear proliferation problem begs a whole nother question. How come we get to have nukes and nobody else does? Nobody but the 8 official nuke countries. How did India and Pakistan slip in? How come we didn't, you know, kick them down the toilet? They, you know, and this idea, see, we don't want a nut to have a nuke, right? Well, who's in charge of our country? Who is in charge of our country that tricked us, lied to us, used 9/11 to get us to invade a country that had nothing to do with it? See, if we don't want a nut to have a nuke, we need to get fucking rid of George Bush right fucking now! I'm Mojo Nixon. This is my weekly political talk show, Lying Cocksuckers. And friends, I'm in negotiations with Sirius. We're going to go back live here real soon. We'll be going back live real soon. There's even talk of expansion of Lying Cocksuckers. More Mojo all the time. But those are just in the early negotiating phase. Oh, negotiating. George Bush wouldn't know anything about that. But back to nuclear proliferation. Well, the U.S. and Russia obviously have nukes. Let's see. And then you got China and England and France and India and Pakistan and unofficially Israel. Why do those eight countries get to have nukes and not North Korea? Or those seven? Was that seven or eight? Whatever it is. The point being, we can't tell the rest of the world you don't get to have nukes when we fucking have them. And we go around invading countries for no good reason whatsoever. We're upset about 9/11. It seems like we'd go after Osama bin Laden. But no! It seems like we might hold Saudi Arabia, responsible. But no! No. We invade Iraq? Iraq? Had nothing to do with 9/11, no links to Saddam Hussein, was absolutely, positively, unequivocally no threat to the United States of America, and now we're in a complete shitstorm, quagmire, doomed if we do, doomed if we don't situation over there. That is what George Bush and the Republicans fought. Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, Paul Wolfowitz, get in line for your fucking war crime trials. So why do we get to have nukes and other countries don't? How can we expect? I mean, the cat is out the bag. You know, we developed nuclear technology 60 years ago. 60 years ago, we developed nuclear technology. The Russians had figured it out, what, about 5 years after we did. So it comes to reason, any country that's stable, and North Korea is stable as a motherfucker because, you know, it's closed society. There's no dissent. You know, if you look the fucking wrong way, they shoot you. Any country that's stable and has middle class, you know, college educated scientists can figure out a nuclear bomb. It's not that hard. Now you got to have certain kind of materials and whatnot, and it takes a lot of energy and money and time to do it, but it's doable. This is 2006. This is not 1946, and it's all a mystery in the Manhattan Project, and we got to keep it a secret. The cat is out the bag. Friends, in a perfect world, we wouldn't need to have nukes. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have dropped them on Japan. In a perfect world, the Russians wouldn't have had, you know, we have thousands and thousands of nukes. And intercontinental ballistic missiles to deliver them. You know, and airplanes and nuclear submarines that are just laying on the bottom of the ocean waiting for the war to start so they can pop up and blow the shit out of something. We are ready. The rest of the world is fucking terrified that we've elected a fucking Nimrod nut job who may unleash the nuclear terror because God told him so. The question is, what would North Korea have to do? What would they have to show us? And we would say, oh, you can join the nuclear club. You know, let's say nobody in South America has nukes. What about Brazil? Brazil's a big country, got plenty of scientists, it's relatively stable, there's tons of money, tons of natural resources. What if Brazil wanted to build a nuke? You know, and there's these, UN sanctions against it. It's, you know, if there was a real UN sanction, then we need to destroy all of our nukes. You know, this is ridiculous. This is crazy. We got 5,000 nukes. You can't have any. Who the fuck is buying that shit? Friends, I was thinking about this when I was in the shower. If you want some crazy guy like Kim Jong-il to build a nuke, all you got to do is tell him not to do it. He's a lot like me. I'm crazy. I'm crazier than a one-eyed tick on a rabid coon dog. I'm also very much a contrarian. Tell me not to do something, all I can do is think about how to fucking do it. If you told me that you couldn't wear purple pants, that it was against the law to wear purple pants, that it was un-American, and it was, you know, peeing in God's mouth to wear purple pants, I would be the purple pants is wearing motherfucker that ever walked the face of the earth. I'd dye my hair purple. I'd dye my eyebrows. I'd dye my butt hair purple and walk around with purple hair pants. You could torture me. You could beat me. You could put me in jail. Oh, you could ridicule me. You could call me a traitor on TV. But friends, I'd be purple pants wearing motherfucker. Why? Because you told me not to. So now another nut, in addition to our own, has a nuke. And we've wasted our chance to say, you know what? Hey, look, if you don't calm down, we're going to invade. See, we've already invaded somewhere and it's turned to be into a shit storm. See, by invading Iraq, we've used up our ability to threaten to invade. People are much more afraid of the threatening to invade than the actual invasion. Because they could see, we'd have the same problem in North Korea. They have 1 million troops. They got all kind of planes and tanks from the Soviets and the Chinese. How about this? Instead of invading, we negotiate with them. We find out what the fuck they want and get them to calm the fuck down while still threatening to invade, which we're not going to do. But, you know, we're trying to get them to calm down. Look, everybody has a price. Everybody's a whore. Everybody can be bought. I'm sure North Korea, where people are fucking starving and they don't have indoor plumbing or electricity, I'm sure they can be bought off. I'm sure the North Koreans can be bought off and save face, and we can avoid World War III. See, friends, weapons of mass destruction, they were not in Iraq. They are currently in North Korea. George Bush is a fucking lying cocksucker.
This is
Lying Cocksuckers
on the Sirius Stars channel.
Bunch of damn lying cocksuckers.
Now, back to the ranting and raving.
To quote Bob Dylan, when you got nothing to lose. The story is from Hartford, Connecticut. Republican Representative Christopher Shays defended the House Speaker's handling of a congressional page scandal, saying no one died at Chappaquiddick, like in 69 with Senator Ted Kennedy. He went on to say Denny Hassert hadn't killed anybody. Oh, it's sad. It's pitiful. It's pathetic. That's all you got? That's all you got? Oh, well, I forgot. You also have the canard that somehow the Foley Page scandal was somehow a joke, a prank. Oh, the pages were egging him on. They were teasing him. Friends, this thing is going to turn out real bad for the Republican leadership. Now, it might be something of a moot point. The Republican leadership probably won't be in leadership next year, and they'll probably have all new fellers in there. And I don't know why Denny Hassert hasn't resigned yet. I guess that makes them look even worse. But when it all comes out, when it's all said and done, there's going to be a systematic cataloging of unacceptable sexual advances by Mark Foley towards teenage pages and former pages. And it's going to show conclusively that every time somebody reported this, every time somebody said, you know, we ought to look into this, every time somebody, you know, mentioned it to somebody, it got swept under the rug. Why did this get swept under the rug? Because the Republican leadership wanted to keep a seat in the House. And they didn't want to protect the pages. You know, it's not just one instant message. It's not just one inappropriate email. It's not just being drunk outside the page building trying to get in. You know, it's not just 1 year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. They did what you think they did. They covered up, they swept under the rug, you know, they turned their head so they could keep a seat in the House, a guy who's good at making money, they kept another seat in the House, and they didn't protect the pages. You know, and they're supposed to be all about family values. Supposed to all be about family. We got to, you know, them family value motherfuckers bring up the children and protecting the children and saving the children every 5 seconds. Here they had a chance to protect the children. And what did they do? They turned their head. They looked the other way. They forgot about it. Oh, this will blow over. We need to keep that house down there. Oh, that's a very, you know, that's a very rich district down there. That's a rich district down there, and Mark Foley can generate us a lot of money. You know, and, oh, you know, I personally don't care that he's a homosexual. And these stories about it, you know, he's just friendly towards the pages. See, the second time anybody was contacted about this, Mark Foley should have been pulled aside and said, hey, you do it again, you're out of here. We're throwing you under the bus.
We don't care if you are secretly homosexual. We know you're gay. You look at another man's hairy asshole and you see love. We don't care about that. We want to protect our seat. The real question, the question here is not Chappaquiddick or Bill Clinton or anything else. And the question is not, was this a prank? Or did the Democrats have this information and hold it? It doesn't matter. None of that matters. The question is, did Mark Foley, a congressman, make inappropriate sexual advances towards current and ex-pages who were 16, 17, 18 years old over a 10-year period? And by all accounts, that's true. In fact, you know, this idea that it's a prank. If it was a prank, he wouldn't have fucking resigned. If this wasn't true, he wouldn't have resigned. That's why he resigned. The second question is, did the House Republican leadership protect a pervert to keep a seat in the House? It's real simple. And by all accounts, yes, they did. You know, they had time and time again, they were warned about this guy. Let's look into this guy. You know, this guy's acting kind of creepy. Somebody from my district, you know, said he's sending emails to a page. It just doesn't seem right. Oh, but you know he's secretly gay. Oh, well, we don't want to expose. You know, first off, they're afraid of exposing the fact that he's gay because he might lose his seat. Second off, they don't want him to lose his seat. They don't want him to lose his seat. You know, it's real simple for Denny Hassert. What does he want more? Do you think it's more important to keep a seat, you know, for Republicans? Or is it more important to protect the pages? That would be your party of family values, Christian conservatives, Christian coalition. That would be the moral majority. That would be compassionate conservatism. They think it's more important to keep their guy in line, keep their guy on their side, than it is to protect the pages. They don't give a fuck about family values. They go, all they care about is power. We got to stay in power. You know, we got to keep this in-house. You know, I'll take care of it. I bet you a whole bunch of people up and down the line said, I'll take care of it. And they didn't do shit. This guy was a creepy pervert preying on teenagers far from home. And the leadership in the Republican Congress, they turned their head. They didn't care. They cared more about keeping their majority. They cared more about the money that he brought in campaign contributions. When all, you know, and who right now thinks that the Republican-controlled House is going to do a real thorough investigation of this? Who among us, please raise thy hand, who thinks that the Republicans are going to do a real thorough investigation of this right before the election? If you believe that, you would be a lying cocksucker.
Lying cocksuckers
is brought to you commercial free. Not because we're communists, but because no one has balls enough to sponsor us.
Lying cocksuckers.
Sirius Stars Channel. Sirius 102.
Mojo here, Sirius 102. Friends, I'm sure you saw the story about the New York Yankee pitcher Corey Lytle flying in a small private plane, crashed into the Upper East Side, Manhattan, New York City, killed himself and his co-pilot, who was also, I think, his instructor, burned four or five apartments out. Oh, it's a big story in New York. It's a big story in New York because people assumed right away, excuse me, I've been drinking, people assumed right away that maybe it was some kind of terrorist attack. You know, planes flying into buildings. That's going to be a big story in New York. And the fact that it's the Yankees. The Yankees. It's a big story in New York. It's going to be big on ESPN and all the New York Center, you know, all the media is based in New York City. Not all of it, but a lot of it's based in New York City. So it's going to be a great big story. But friends, I got to tell you, you know, it's sad for this guy and his family that he got killed, but he should have known better. He should have listened to my song. After JFK Jr. died, I wrote a song called You Gotta Be Insane to Get in Them Small Private Planes. JFK Jr. could have flown during the day, but oh no, wanted to show his manhood. Wanted to show his manhood, flew at night, missed the island, drowned dead. Friends, you gotta be insane to fly in them small private planes. Politicians, musicians, entertainers, sports figures, people who ride around in those planes get killed in them all the time. There is a huge list going all the way back to Will Rogers, including Buddy Holly. In fact, well, hell, I got the list right here. You know, I originally, like I said, wrote this song back when JFK Jr. got killed, and everybody was all upset and freaking out, and it was my opinion of his own damn fault. It was his own damn fault for flying a small private plane. It was his own damn fault for flying a small private plane at night. You know, and then there was a couple of senators. There was one in Missouri. What was his name? Carnahan. And there was one up in Wellstone, up there in Minnesota. You know, there were some NASCAR associates of Rick Hendrick who got killed at Martinsville a couple of years ago. And why did they get killed? They were in a small private plane, and they didn't want to have to drive. See, most of the other planes, you know, diverted from Martinsville. Some of them went to Danville, Virginia, where I grew up. But if you diverted to Danville from Charlotte or wherever you were coming from, then you got stuck in traffic. You'd be out there on interstate on, you know, US 58 or 220, stuck in traffic. You might miss the beginning of the race. See, what the bigwigs like to do, they like to fly into the little airport, and then they helicopter them over to the track. Oh, it's boom, bam, boom. They don't have to sit in cars like the rest of us. And guess what? That's how you fucking get killed. That's a, you know, Leonard Skinner, when they were getting on the plane, you know, and they owned the plane. You think Leonard Skinner spent the last, when Leonard Skinner was looking at their money, and they said, should we buy another kilo of coke, or should we get the plane repaired? What do you think, you know, get maintenance on the plane? How do you think they spent their money? Friends, this is a long, sad tale that's been going on for a long time. Corey Lytle is just the latest in a long string of famous entertainers, public figures, who had to be insane to get in them small, tiny planes. Mojo Nixon, Sirius 102.